Jason, the first wave of free agency has crashed onto the shores, and the Bears have got some new guys. We'll talk about that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, the Bears have made their foray into free agency, and none of them are pass rushers, but some of them are some pretty interesting players. What do you think of what they've done as you and I sit here on a Thursday?
I think a few things. It was pretty much a non-event. Nobody that they picked up was on your off-season shopping list. Kobe Bryant, the safety from the Seahawks, is a very good starter that they picked up. Devin Bush is a cheaper replacement for Tremaine Edmonds that they hope will be as productive as Tremaine Edmonds. But really, it was, to me, the takeaways are they feel good about what they have, including they feel good about Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen's ability to get more out of a player than what you see on paper going in. And they're paying the price, Pat, for some financial decisions that they've made.
Yeah, and for some that they don't want to make, which is pushing money into the future to free up some extra cash. I think as you and I sit here right now, I think it's hard to make the argument that they're any better on paper than they were when the season ended. You know, you mentioned Devin Bush, you trade him in for Tremaine Edmonds. Is he any better? I don't know. He's faster. You know, if that's the flavor they wanted, so be it. But I don't think you can argue that he's better. The same with Kobe Bryant and Kevin Byard. You know, the Bears are paying Kobe Bryant $40 million over 3 years, not necessarily for what he's done the last 2 years since moving to safety, but for what he could do. You can't really say that he's better than Bryant. Khalif Raymond isn't DJ Moore. Garrett Bradbury, who they traded for on Friday, isn't Drew Dolman. You know, they're obviously banking on Caleb getting better, Ben being a better head coach in his second year, and improving that way. But should fans be alarmed that on paper there hasn't been some great gain made really at any position?
I don't know that they should be alarmed, but I think that you should rein in your expectations because they were at a point where you could look at it and say, as a franchise, this is the time to swing big. They were 11-6. What were they last year? Why am I drawing
11 a blank?
11-6. I was going to say 11-5. 11-6 last year, won the division, went to the second round of the playoffs, were just a play or two away from going to the NFC Championship game. You've got an ascending quarterback. You've got ascending players at other important positions like tight end and wide receiver. You've got an offensive line in place. You could make a great case. This is the time to swing big. This is the time to go out and make the trade for Khalil Mack, or in this case, it'd be Max Crosby, or sign Trey Hendrickson to a big contract. And they didn't do any of that. This isn't swinging big. This is more playing the long game, betting big on Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen, and really betting big on Caleb Williams. My concern there, where you're betting big on Caleb Williams, is you're putting a lot on him because everything is not necessarily set up to his advantage here. When you go with a budget-friendly move at center, you haven't solved left tackle. And you traded away. I know that DJ Moore is in the doghouse for a lot of people because of the way the season ended and because of some very pedestrian statistics last year. But you traded away a really valuable piece in DJ Moore, a really good receiver.
Yeah, and he's a good player in a way that may not have shown up in if he was on your fantasy football team. You know what I mean? You know, the things that get measured inside the building but don't get measured outside of it. And, you know, their receiver room isn't going to be better because he's gone. It's, you know, if anything, it will just have to try to keep pace. Of the additions that they've brought in, Jason, both via trade and free agency, is there one that intrigues you or one that you like or dislike? What jumps off the page for you? Give me one name.
Kobe Bryant from the Seahawks. You know, can he be what either of their safeties was the last season? Kevin Byard, just an interception magnet, and Jaquan Brisker, a player that I think for whatever flaws he might have, He is a player that every wide receiver thinks about on the snap. Mm-hmm. Where's Jaquan Brisker? Where is he going to hit me from? If Kobe Bryant can be either of those, I think that's really good. Who's the other starting safety? There isn't one.
Their right. fourth round draft pick?
Yeah. See, that's another thing that happened this offseason with the Bears is you go in with some needs, and you go in where it's going to be kind of challenging just to get back to the roster level quality that you had in 2025. And then you're trading DJ Moore and having Drew Dahlman retire. And I guess they sort of knew this was, well, you need a left tackle. And yeah, they knew that at the end of the season, but they didn't know that at the beginning of January, for example. That's a relatively new problem to pop up going into their offseason, on top of already needing to find two safeties, to find another corner, which they haven't done that either, and get help on the defensive line. Go ahead.
No, I was going to throw Garrett Bradbury.
Yeah, who do you like?
Garrett Bradbury, probably.
Do you like him because he was just, like, nice on the Zoom call, or do you really like him?
He was the winner of the Good Guy Award in New England last year, which awards the guy who's the most help to the media. So he's starting off on the right foot.
Okay.
No, why does the starting center of a Super Bowl team get traded for next year's fifth-round pick?
Yeah.
That is, you know, change in the couch. Why is he so cheap? The answer in New England was they want to move their guard to center. Okay, I get that. But I think the Bears did a tidy little bit of business a week ago when they decided to trade for him. He's not the long-term answer, but he's somebody who has experience in the division. He's somebody who, despite being undersized, has the pedigree of being a first-round pick 6-7 years ago. And he's somebody who knows Joe Tooney, the man who's going to be to his left since college. I think, you know, that blind resume is a pretty good one. And to get him for a year at a low price, I think is probably the smartest thing they've done to this point. Also, the fact that you can turn around and draft a center this year if you want, and it's understood that the guy you have right now is, you know, going to be the center for a year and train the new guy. Like, that's a possibility. And I don't think that's a bad thing, especially where the sweet spot is at the position, which is end of the second day, start of the third day in the draft.
I got a little concern about the draft situation for them right now, because if you ever talk to somebody about who are their top five all-time basketball players,
mm-hmm, sure,
and they list like 12.
Yep.
Well, it doesn't work like that. The Bears have, if you want to list your top three draft priorities for your three really valuable picks, mm-hmm, it can't be eight. You can't have eight top three priorities.
Right. I mean, right now it's defensive tackle, defensive end, cornerback, safety, center, maybe another tight end. Because what else? I mean, I'm at six right now. I mean,
and to me, it annoys me when teams start portraying third round picks and later as more valuable than they are.
Mm-hmm.
You are getting starters in the first and second round. That's it, in my opinion. I know some people will disagree and argue for the third and fourth round or whatever. I don't see it that way. The first and second round, you're finding starters. Mm-hmm. And by the way, at 25, their first choice is 25. You're not typically finding all pros quite there. You're finding really good starters, ideally. So after that, it's a lot of guesswork. There's a lot of third round picks that turn out to be nothing. There's a handful of those fifth round picks that turn out to be starting level players. But the odds really, really drop after the second round of finding really good starting caliber players. And so you can't just assign all of these needs to picks 25, 57, and 60, I think it is, right?
Correct, yeah.
You can't just say, well, that's where I'm going to find this. That's your answer to everything? Right. That's where I'm going to find a center. That's where I'm going to find a left tackle. That's where I'm going to find a pass rusher. That's where I'm going to find a defensive tackle. That's where we're going to find a new corner. Whoa. You don't have that many picks.
The list of the number 20, here are guys drafted 25th the last 5 years. Jackson Dart, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Morgan from Arizona, drafted by the Packers, not very good. Dalton Kincaid, fine, right? Tyler Linderbaum, the highest paid center of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Etienne, pretty good. Going back even further, Brandon Ayuk, Hollywood Brown, Hayden Hurst, Jabril Peppers, the great Artie Burns is on that list. So these are guys who, if you're a football fan, these are household names.
You can find talent. Yeah. I'm not saying you can't find talent there, but right. but where are the good left tackles and defensive ends? I mean, those guys are usually going early.
Yep.
I think last year when they drafted Loveland, didn't the top three left tackles go in the top 8 or 9 picks?
Right, because they would have taken one of them one was available. Yeah, right.
Kelvin Banks from Texas. I mean, it went so fast. And that so 25th overall is a good spot usually to find some of those second-tier positions, to find really, really good talent at those places. But it's not usually where you're shopping for A-plus prospects at quarterback, left tackle, and defensive end.
In this year's draft, though, the book on the draft for defensive ends is that there are going to be people at 25 who you can start on day one. I asked Daniel Jeremiah.
There ought to be.
Yeah, I asked Daniel Jeremiah last month, hey, if you're the Bears, what do you do at 25? And he said, well, first of all, I don't go anywhere. I don't trade up. I don't trade back. I sit there and just wait for the best defensive end who's left, and I grab him, and I'm happy. If that's the case, is there a world where that's a more prudent idea than throwing, $30 million a year at Trey Hendrickson or two first-round picks and $30 million a year at Max Crosby?
Well, you have to solve the problems one way or another. And one thing about the draft, and Ryan Poles loves this, is the incredible discount you get, especially at the more expensive positions. Mm-hmm. So we use this example all the time. Caleb Williams is making $10 million a season during these first 4 years. Everyone else is getting, there's a ton of quarterbacks making 50 a year. Mm-hmm. What did Malik Willis just get in Miami?
2 for 60 something?
Yeah, $30 million a year. I mean, so if you're talking about the really expensive positions, Pat, like quarterback and defensive end, if those guys are good right away, then you're getting this incredible savings. Mm-hmm. You could get $40 million a year defensive end play in theory for, $5 million a year or whatever the 25th overall pick is going to get this year in those pre-slotted contracts. So it's an incredible savings over 4 years. It's what the Lions have thrived on, basically, because the Lions have had to pay a quarterback. They've had to pay Jared Goff during this entire run that they've had. But they're in the rookie window of, like, everybody else.
Right.
Because they've nailed their draft picks so well.
Well, and I think that's maybe instructive when we're thinking about Ben Johnson. You know, Ben's got a pretty big say in personnel, if maybe more than Ryan does, or at the very least they're hand.
We think he does. We think Ben Johnson.
Yeah, they're hand
has
in hand.
The influence.
You know, and he's coming from a place in Detroit that took Aiden Hutchinson, that took Penei Sewell, that took Jahmyr Gibbs. Those are three guys I just named who are top three players at their position in the sport, probably. I wonder whether his view of the draft, even drafting as late as 25, is this is how you build a consistent winner versus, going out and trading draft picks for veterans.
The elephant in the room here for free agency for them is the $91 million that they gave Dio Odengbo and Grady Jarrett a year ago.
Right.
Because some of these needs are not their fault. It's not their fault that Ozzie Trapillo, who would be their starting left tackle, suffered a major knee injury in a playoff game. It's not their fault that Drew Dahlman retired out of nowhere. The $91 that they committed to those two guys.
$91 million.
$91 million that they committed to those guys over 3 years, that they can get out of like a third of that at the end of this year. But they're not in any position. They weren't in any financial position to move on from those now. I mean, that makes a difference. How are you supposed to go spend all this money? Even if you could rationalize the draft capital you give up for Max Crosby, let's just set aside all the complications with his knee and whatever else, or the, or you want to get in the game for Trey Hendrickson, how are you going to justify taking on that salary when you're already pouring this much money into your defensive line? You're paying Montez Sweat a lot. Montez Sweat has been pretty good, not great, but pretty good. And the other resources you've poured into your defensive line have not paid off. Dio Odengbo, before he got hurt, wasn't doing what they needed. Grady Jarrett was not what they needed. Jervon Dexter is another guy they put a premium resource into, even though they aren't paying him very much. They spent a second-round pick on him. He's good, but he's not a game-changer for them in the middle of their defensive line. So you've some of this is bad spending on their part that now prevents them from fixing those problems.
Is there anything left that they could do that would make you feel any different about this free agent run, or are we kind of at the point now where the splashes have been made and everything else is just depth?
If they could find a way to get in the game for Max Crosby at a lower price in terms of the draft capital they'd have to give up,
yeah,
that would change everything. That, but I still think, and they could probably do it financially. They'd have to restructure some things, and maybe you could get the Raiders to take somebody's contract. Is it the end of the world if you give up the 25th pick this year and a second round pick?
I don't know.
To get that guy?
I don't know. By the way, this may age poorly depending on when you're listening to
it. Yeah, it's true.
But
yeah.
Max Crosby wakes up Wednesday morning, drives to the Raiders facility, continues to rehab his knee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before he goes to bed Wednesday night, puts out a tweet that's got a video of The Undertaker rising. Good times. But do you like The Undertaker?
No, but I know you're excited about this tweet.
And he essentially says, I'm a Raider, run it. What was it? More or less, I'm going to clean it up. In short, I'm a Raider, run it back.
Don't believe everything you hear.
Believe half of what you hear, or half of what you read, and or what is it? Anything you hear and half of what you read.
For as much as you loved this tweet, this is a terrible
depiction. I'm trying not to curse is what I'm doing.
In effect, you think showing enthusiasm for continuing to be a Raider. I think the price will never be lower than it is now for Max Crosby.
Well, my question for you, though, is do you – God save us all for trying to interpret what a 20-something puts on social media. Do you read that as he is a Raider and wants to stay a Raider? Do you interpret that as the Raiders are going to try and trade him, but they need a good offer and they need him to play nice here? And because of that, he's doing the Raiders a solid by saying, go Raiders, and hope that teams keep coming with offers? Or do you think he just wants the world to know that his knee's okay?
I think he doesn't like the talk about his knee and Baltimore backing out for that reason because he feels really good about it. He posts all these videos of him playing basketball and things like that. And the Raiders are the team that he's on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as of right now, that's the only thing he has to be enthusiastic about. He can't get excited about the Dallas Cowboys or the Chicago Bears because he's not on those teams. It's going to be really interesting to watch because the push to unload him would have been the start of the new league year to get him off your books at the start of signing free agents and adding spending to your salary cap. But that's come and gone, and he's a Raider, and they still have all their free agents that they agreed to. So now, I mean, what's the next deadline? It's really probably the start of the season.
It might be draft night. I mean, I think you could argue that if the Raiders want to get moving on their rebuild – they could trade him on draft night.
They don't have to, though. I mean, they could now wait till September,
yeah,
and the price will most likely go up. Unless Max Crosby has a major injury setback, the price most likely will go up, and there's precedent for getting getting two first-round picks for guys like him at that time of year in Khalil Mack and Micah Parsons.
Right.
At that point, Max Crosby could be practicing, could be looking really good in practice. The knee might test a lot better in a physical. Other teams might have injuries, or other teams might see their need more clearly, like the Bears. The Bears might be there in late August and say, man, Caleb looks great. Burden and Odunze look great. Our new left tackle and center, everything looks really good except our pass rush. Okay, maybe we are more confident to take the big swing now and trade future picks in 27 and 28 or something like that. But my point is, unless Max Crosby falls off the face of the earth, I think the price is at its lowest right now. This would be the time to jump in if you think you can get him for less than two firsts.
Remember, they didn't trade him because they wanted to. They traded him because he wanted to be traded.
Isn't it both? I mean,
yeah. I mean, he got in an argument with Alex Guerrero, who is Tom Brady's guy, and Did you read the Tom Brady, Alex Guerrero book? Was Guerrero part of that?
I was flipping through the TB12 just to find out about how if I drink enough water, I won't get sunburned and things like that.
Big if true, by the way.
Right. Also, unfortunately, not true.
Well, some of the reporting is that...
You can't drink water your way out of sunburn.
Some of the reporting is that he got together with Mark Davis, the owner, and by the time their conversation was over, they agreed it was best to part ways. You think there's a world where Max Crosby just goes, you know what, I want to stay here now?
Well, maybe they make some accommodations. There's a new coaching staff there. I mean, there could be... I wouldn't want to get rid of Max Crosby if I were them.
No.
His contract is fine, and if you feel good enough about his knee, he's an excellent defensive end with years ahead of him. He's 28, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really young defensive end. Defensive ends have longevity.
A lot of miles on him. He doesn't come off the field. Every other defensive end in the world comes off the field. He does not.
Yeah, I'd be happy to have him.
And he just failed the physical. I mean,
he failed Baltimore's physical.
Yeah, and we could parse all day exactly whether Baltimore had their thumb on the scale. But, yeah, he did fail a physical. Looking around, what do you think the Bears need one more of? Is there anything? Just speaking generally. I mean, they could use another safety. They've got Elijah Hicks back.
You're talking just depth?
Yeah.
I mean, I could see them taking a flyer at corner.
Yeah.
I mean, they did that last year with Nashawn Wright, and it worked out. If there's a guy out there that fits the Dennis Allen prototype, whatever you would call it, criteria. You know, I would be all for one of the cheap, older veteran 1-year contracts at defensive end. Mm-hmm. And the name that I keep coming back to is Cam Jordan from the Saints, who is 36. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, he's 36. But he had 10.5 sacks last year. And he played 10 years for Dennis Allen and is regarded as one of the absolute professionals in the league.
Also, his laundry used to smell like hot dog water, and now it doesn't.
Yeah, he does commercials for laundry detergent.
Yeah,
yes.
Tide, what, he and his mom? I don't know.
I don't know which detergent it is, so it's not that effective of a commercial.
Is that his real mom, I wonder?
I don't, or stage mom, I don't
First
know.
First question yeah. of the press conference will be, yeah, I mean, that would make sense.
But, what if I told you he's available 1 year, $20 million?
Ooh.
Khalil Mack just got 1 year, 18 and change. But it's only 1 year, Pat. I know the $20 million bothers you, but right. It's only 1 year.
I'd pay him 8 or 10. And then, you know, the question I think is not that different than the Kevin Byard question. At some point when you have a veteran who's played at the highest level for a long time, you can't insult them with with salary that they don't want. You know what I mean? And we'll see. What do you think, briefly, before we get out of here, of the Bears' decision so far to patch their left tackle job with Braxton Jones and a guy named Jedrick Wills, who took last year off because he had a leg injury, and Theo Benedict. It feels like we've lived this movie already and it didn't go very well.
Yeah, you said so far, and I think that's key. I don't think they could possibly be done with that. I think that is a position they could address with the 25th overall pick. I think you have to play the game here long term and assume nothing about Ozzie Trapillo coming back. I think you have to look for a long term fix, a permanent fix at left tackle. And if Ozzie Trapillo comes back and is really good and you just have more tackles than you could possibly play in him and the new guy and Darnell Wright, then great, you've got a trade piece.
Jedrick Wills, at one time a first round pick of the Cleveland Browns, started every game for 2 years and then got bit by injuries. Again, he spent last year in Dallas and traveling to Mexico with his family and kind of not being in the game. You know, this is a very, very long shot sort of flyer, I think, but it is interesting.
Ryan Poles and most other, if not all other GMs, will always be attracted to that former first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what that guy has done, whether it's Alex Leatherwood or whoever, if they once had a first-round pick on that guy, a great first-round grade on that guy, there's something in all 32 of them that thinks, oh, we could, or I guess it'd be 31 of them because the Browns probably don't think it. 31 of them that think, oh, we could get this guy to what I projected him at 4 years ago.
I can fix him is what it sounds like. Yeah. Jason, we'll see what else pops up as we get into the second, third, fourth, Is there any sort of depths? At what point, what's the last wave of free agency? Is it just past the breakers somewhere? What do we call it?
It's the guys that you think were retired signing the eve of training camp, I think. What do you call that?
Well, yeah, and I don't know. But, I mean, to your point where you said the Bears might have more needs than or more holes than draft picks, boy, there's a safety that we haven't thought of in 2 years that might be floating around the day after the draft that could be the Bears' starting strong safety, for all we know. But we will be there to cover it. Until then, you can follow Jason and I on social media. Check us out on the Sun-Times website. And if you live in town, buy a paper. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Pat Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.
Hey, it's Nudia from Vocalo. Got plans July 11th? Now you do. Join me for Vocalo's free summer meltdown concert at Bottom Lounge with Adam Killa and Taylor Bennett. We'll have merch giveaways and surprise guests. Learn more at wbez.org/events.